Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
The problem of evil. You ever grapple with that as a follower of Jesus?
Yeah, that's a big topic.
It's like so huge. And we just scratched the surface when we had a chance to chat with author and pastor Scott Christensen about this. He's written a couple of big books that really go in depth and take a look at this in terms of theology. And it's great. But the neat thing about it is that he took the essence of all of his research and study, he boiled it down into a book that's much more reader-friendly for the average Joe. My hand's up in the air. It's called Defeating Evil, How God Glorifies Himself in a Dark World. There was, I don't know, when we had this conversation with him, I just kind of found myself saying a number of different things like, oh, yeah, hadn't considered that, or amen to what you just said.
Exactly. Yeah. And he knows the subject so well that when we had the calls, nothing threw him. He just went to that place right away. It was good.
Yeah. And again, we know that there is a degree of mystery when it comes to handling this question, but we firmly believe the Bible has given us plenty of light on this subject so that we can trust God and trust him no matter how many unanswered questions we have, because he's proven that he is good. Anyway, let's go ahead and share this conversation. If God is loving and kind and gracious and compassionate, why does he allow evil to just run amok in this world? You know, how do I reconcile God's goodness and power and holiness, you know, all of this stuff. How do I reconcile all of these attributes of God with the fact that evil is present in the world today?
Yeah, it seems very counterintuitive that such a God would allow evil to exist in the world, and yet this is a world that he's created. And so it begs the question, why? Why has he done this? And it causes a lot of consternation particularly for believers, because they're often put on the defensive to try to defend God, and especially the kind of world we're living in today. And but I believe the Bible gives us a storyline that really demonstrates that God's glory is more magnified in a world with evil than if he had created a world where no evil would have ever occurred.
So really the key here is the glory of God. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yes. A lot of Christians, when they address the problem of evil, tend to have what I think is a more man-centered approach. And they're thinking of the happiness of the creature, the happiness of human beings as the goal. God's goal is to make us happy. And that's not really God's goal in creating the world. His goal is to bring honor and glory to himself. So we have to have a very God-centered perspective when we're dealing with this problem.
Of course, one of the answers is God allows evil because he also allows us as his creatures, as his creation. He allows us free will choices. You know, we can make choices in life. And that whole idea of free will and his sovereignty in regard to this issue, the problem of evil, how do you reconcile that? Or at least, I know it's almost unanswerable, that question, but, you know, how do we bring these two points together? Where do they meet?
Yeah, it's the most common response that Christians offer to defend God against the charge that because there's evil in his world and he's all powerful and he's all good, you know, how does he then escape from being, you know, the author of evil or morally responsible for the evil that takes place? And so the most common response is that, well, God has granted us, his creatures, human beings, free will. And in doing so, he takes a risk that we will use this free will to not make good choices, but to make evil choices. And since this free will, according to this particular view, is necessary in order for us to have good and loving and moral relationships, we need to have the freedom to be able to choose good or evil in order for those things to be meaningful. And so the idea is that God, in giving us this freedom, takes the risk that we're going to make evil choices, and therefore gets him off the hook and you know, shifts the moral responsibility to our choices.
Wait a minute, though. The whole idea of risk, when you use that word, that kind of makes me squirm just a tiny bit. God taking a risk. He knows how things...
For good reason.
Yeah. So let's move on to point two.
Yeah, I think that's an inadequate way to address the problem because it kind of gets God out of the driver's seat in the sense that when we read Scripture, we see a God who is orchestrating everything that takes place in the course of time and space and history, and he has already established a plan in what theologians call his eternal decree, in which he's already mapped out the whole course of history, even before history began, even before the creation took place. And so I believe that when we look at the storyline of Scripture, we see God unfolding this amazing plan of redemption that is centered on the person and work of Christ, and that this redemptive plan of his would be completely unnecessary unless there had been a fall, unless the creation had crumbled into its state that it's in today. And God brings supreme glory to himself by resolving the conflict of the curse, the conflict of evil, the conflict of sin and natural evil, such as earthquakes and natural disasters and COVID-19 and things like that, death itself. All these things entered into the world because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But God had a plan in which he would establish a work of redemption through the sending of his son, the incarnation, the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the center of this storyline. And it is that storyline that brings God greatest glory.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
Let's go to the phones. Cookie's joining us this morning. Let's see. Hey, Cookie, welcome back. How you doing?
Good morning. I just want to say briefly how God's testimony throughout the whole Scripture, throughout the whole Bible, and in the teachings that he does shows us, obviously, who the victor is going to be, but that there is such evil that we are to be in prayer for, and it's apparent everywhere today. And evil's out there, and more apparent than ever in the history of our country, I believe, right now. But we know who the victor is, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, that's right. We know, Scott, Amen. How the story ends, right? That's key.
Yeah. Yes, that's very key. And because we often don't know what God might be doing in any particular instance of evil or affliction that we experience, and we cry out and ask God for answers, and he doesn't always give us answers. He didn't give Job an answer when Job asked him, why has all this come about? But the important thing is that we need to realize that because God is good, and because he loves us, we know that no matter what the affliction, no matter what evil we might experience, no matter even how horrible our own sin is, that God's goodness, his grace, and his mercy is accomplishing a plan, even through the means of evil itself, to accomplish a greater good that would not occur unless we had gone through this affliction.
Yeah, good kings and bad kings, God can use them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. That's, you've heard that phrase. Okay, we have somebody who texted in a question. Well, I want to make sure we get to that as well.
Okay, yes, we texted in. They said, how does a Christian answer the question, if God created so that we would, for his own glory, if he created us for his own glory, doesn't that show him as proud and selfish?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because we would think, you know, in a God-centered world, it seems like he's the center, but he must be the center. You know, because only he is worthy of the glory of being the center. It's kind of like if you think about, for example, you know, trying to put the Earth at the center of our solar system and have everything else revolve around the Earth. Well, it's not going to work because it does, it can't be. Only the sun has the mass and the weight that allows it to be the center of the solar system, and everything else must revolve around it. And so it's not possible that we could be the center of the story. It must be God, because only God in his unique divinity and glory and awesomeness could be the center of the story.
Does any worldview or any other religion in the world offer as good a solution to the problem of evil as Christianity does?
Not that I have found. It's interesting that many, many other non-Western religions don't even really try to handle the problem of evil, because they don't think of the contrast between, you know, a good and powerful God, you know, superintending what happens in the world. And so, evil is not an issue that they really try to solve. And so it's only Christianity or derivatives of the Christian worldview that have really tried to address this problem.
When I think about, we just came off of Easter and Good Friday, and when I think about the torture and horror of what Jesus went through for us, dying for our sins on the cross, this shows, obviously, his great love for us, God's great love for us. He went to such great lengths to secure our salvation so that we could be redeemed. So we have a God that understands what it's like to be in the midst of an evil world. Jesus knows to the nth degree what it is like. So how do we explain to somebody who's like, okay, when, let's say they were abused, and okay, when I was a child, I was being abused, where was God then? And then the common response is, God was there with you, even in the midst of the evil that was happening to you and around you. Is that an acceptable way to maybe kind of frame it out, or is there a better way to explain that to someone who's hurting?
Yeah, I think when you're experiencing something horrific like that, that you know, you're not seeing God in the midst of that. What you're going to see is what comes out the back end if you are a believer that places your faith in Christ. And, you know, we have the promise, I think, of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." This is an amazing promise for the believer, because it's telling us that affliction is not just meaningless. It's actually producing something. This is a radical idea that Paul introduces in this verse. He says, affliction is actually producing something in the believer. It's producing glory. And it's not just any glory. It's an eternal weight of glory that's far beyond all comparison. And it's interesting that in the contrast in this verse, he talks about affliction as though it's just light and momentary. But of course, we all know that when we experience affliction, particularly really horrible things, it doesn't seem light and it doesn't seem temporary.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem momentary. And yet, what Paul is saying is that these things are producing in us an eternal weight of glory that we may not see in this lifetime. it may be what God is doing in the glory and the life to come. And so we have this hope that God will redeem all of our afflictions. God will redeem all of the evil, all of the horrible things that have taken place in the life of the believer who's placed his faith in Christ.
We have a texted question that just came in a few minutes ago.
Yes. If God gave us free will, how can everything be pre-planned with so many choices, so many outcomes? And he likens it to a weather map spaghetti model. I don't know if you're familiar with hurricane spaghetti models, but he said when you zoom in, you see so many different choices, but when you zoom out, it's the shaded cone area in one direction. Is that it?
Yeah, this is a difficult question, and dealt with this in another book of mine called What About Free Will? But we have to understand that Scripture often pictures a dual explanation for things that take place in our lives. Number one, we see that God superintends the events, including our choices, to accomplish His purposes. And yet that does not undermine the fact that we willingly make choices based on what we want to do. I think a perfect example of this in terms of the context of the problem of evil would be the life of Joseph. You have this story of Joseph being sold by his brothers into slavery, and they did this terrible, evil thing to him. And, of course, God used that in order to bring about him being placed in this position, really, of kind of prime minister of Egypt. And then he had this reunion with his brothers years later, and they finally figure out who he is, and they're fearful that he's going to act revengeful upon them for their evil that they had done to him. And he explains that, I understand that you guys sold me here, and you're responsible. You're morally responsible for having sold me into slavery, but I want you to know that it was actually God who sent me here. And then he makes this really amazing statement in Genesis 50:20, where he says, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good."
Yeah.
And so in saying that, he's given a dual explanation for their selling him into slavery. They did this deed, and they had evil intentions for it. But God also superintended this same evil deed that they did, but he had a good intention for it. And there's some great mystery there. But we see this kind of dual explanation. One of our pastors in our church calls it the twin towers of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. And you see it in many places in Scripture. You see it, for example, when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he speaks to the Jews and he says, this man, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified at the hands of godless men, all of this happened, he said, according to the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. And so God planned the crucifixion of Jesus, but it came at the hands of godless men who bear responsibility for it. And so we see this all over Scripture.
Yeah. All right, Scott, I think we've solved the problem of evil, and all in an hour on Curtain Cape Mornings. Amazing but true. Scott, thanks for being with us. Blessings to you and your family, too.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Curtain Cape Mornings podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.